I'm very excited, by the way, to do that. One of the things that I admire about the hanhala of the yeshiva here that makes it so exciting to be here is the following thing. There's a very, very American approach to the fact that you have Ashkenazim and Sfaradim in a yeshiva. So there's an American way to deal with it, and there's a Torah way to deal with it, okay? The American way to deal with it is to try to make sure that the Sfaradim are equal citizens to the Ashkenazim, and to make sure that everyone's, or the Ashkenazim equal to the Sfaradim, whatever, but that we're very, very motivated to make everything homogeneous. Everyone is the same. That's a very American approach. Men and women have to be the same. Everything has to be the same. But that's not the approach of the yeshiva. It's not the approach of the Torah. The approach is that when we have a large tzibur of Sfaradim in the yeshiva, we recognize that it's not just a matter of properly being there for them, but it's also a matter of us properly learning from them. And being makir, that the different mesorahs in Klal Yisrael each have something valuable to teach the tzibur of Klal Yisrael. Similar to the fact that each shevet in Klal Yisrael has different midas, different brachas, different talents. And for us to be in a yeshiva that has the kanayna hara, the percentage of sfardim that our yeshiva has, and that the Ashkenazim and the yeshiva don't have a sense of value of the preciousness of the Sfaradi Mesira and the ability to learn from them, it would be a cataclysmic loss for us. One of the benefits of Gullus America is that we've all been thrown together. And one of the milas of that, it comes with its chesrinos, but one of the milas of that is that we can learn from each other. And it's really something the guys in my shir know, that we've talked about before. The value of appreciating and learning from the different mesorahs. So I was excited when Rav Elbaz joined, and I had this secret plan that I was going to make sure that he didn't just speak that to Sfaradim. That's my secret plan. So I'm happy that Rav Elbaz is just here for a few days, and I was already able to execute that plan. And to ask him to come speak to a group of the yeshiva that includes, Baruch Hashem, all aspects of the Messiah, as his Messiah also includes Messiah from all over. And it's important. And tonight's a special night, as we'll hear. And it's a good night for us to get an insight into the Avodas HaTefillah that the Sfaradim so such a special part of their Messiah. And the emunah, the bitachon, and also something that gets overlooked sometimes, the enormous gadlus batayra in hekif and in oimik, the yerusha that the Sfaradi world has given us, the almost endless yerusha of gadlus batayra, and I'm excited. That's my excited accomplishment of the night, and it's a.
I don't know what's left to say. And that's the truth.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I want to thank Rav Zonenshine very much and for having me here tonight. Like the Rav just said, it is a very, very special night, but I want to first speak to something that Rav Zonenshine just said. I happen to come from a yeshiva. It is rare that, obviously over here, the homogeneousness of Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, you can't even feel, they're all the same, they're one and the same. That's not something to take for granted in the yeshiva world. I've been around. And there's many different messiahs, but I grew up, by and large, in the Meir Yeshiva in Brooklyn. And the Meir Yeshiva in Brooklyn is one of the flagship yeshivas in the world that really has this, famously, Agon, the Aviya Yeshiva, Agon Avram Kalmanovich, the Rock of Arav. He was instrumental in not only saving the Meir Yeshiva in Poland from certain death and getting them first to Kobe, Japan, and then to Shanghai, China, and finally the yeshiva split up. Some went to Eretz Yisrael, some came to America, and that was the formation of Mir Yeshiva in Brooklyn, Beis HaTalmud, Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. that was all, Rav Avraham Kalmanovich was super instrumental in that, but he didn't suffice with just saving his Ashkenazi brethren from the Churban of the Holocaust. His life's mission was also, it's also overlooked the fact that he was a tremendous Goyen Batira, but he spent his life saving Sfardim from spiritual death as well. And he traveled the world, first and foremost, to Morocco. He actually spoke Arabic, and he has pictures where he actually dressed the part, went to Morocco and Syria and Egypt and Lebanon to get young Bachram out of there, because if you read a little history, there were power struggles in Yiddishkeit in these North African and Middle Eastern countries between the Allianz, which was a very, very, very anti-Torah Jewish cultural institution, and Otzar HaTorah, which also, by the way, made its way to Iran. Iran had its own issues with Allianz versus Otzar HaTorah. Long stories. Anyway, basically what Neri Yisrael did for the Persians, Rabbi Avraham Kalmanovich did for everybody else. And there was never a moment in yeshiva where I ever felt, and interestingly enough, ironically enough, the population in Yeshiva in Brooklyn was also about 60-40, 60% Ashkenazim, 40% Sephardim. And there was never an iota of, you know, being frowned upon, chas v'shalom, or condescended upon, none of that. And once somebody came to the legendary Yeshiva of Shmuel Berman, Zechet Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, and somebody asked him, I guess it came up in conversation about how the Yeshiva is so, you know, so attuned to the needs of the Sephardim, and especially the Moroccans, and he said in Yiddish, he says, there's no Ashkenazim and there's no Sfardim. In these walls, there's just the yeshiva. There's no boundaries, there's no divides between them. And therefore, Be'emet, some of the alter Moroccans that came from Morocco when they were children, they speak better Yiddish than most of the Ashkenazim that I know. So that's just, you know, that's an interesting thing. Anyway, that being said, it is very heartwarming because, like I said, it's not something to be taken for granted, and it's really something that you have to really, really be makir tova for, because it's not like that everywhere. It's not like that, not forget about in Eretz Yisrael, even in America, it's not always like that. And for, you know, for better or for worse, however it became that way, culturally or, you know, things, you know, socioeconomic differences, but it's something to really, really appreciate and really grow from. And like Rabbi Sonnenschein said, there's so much to learn from each other's Messiah. Ironically, the Rav mentioned the Shvatim. It's interesting that the Ariya Kadosh in Sha'ar Kavanot, actually Rav Chaim Vital quotes the Ariya Kadosh in Darush LaTfilah, and he says in the Hakdama, famously, you know, the Ariya Kadosh was Ashkenazi. His father was Ashkenazi and his mother was Sephardi. His father passed away at a very young age. He was raised by his mother, first in Turkey, and then they moved to Mitzrayim, where he became a Talmid of none other than Rav Bitzal Ashkenazi, author of Shita Mekubetzes. So there is, he wrote most of Zvachim. That reason wrote most of Zvachim. Anyway, and Rav Bitzal Ashkenazi, it's Belashon Sagi Nahor. Ashkenazi, for him, you know what Sagi Nahor means? It's like it's a misnomer. They called him Ashkenazi because originally his forefathers, but he grew up in Mitzrayim. So he was like the Ashkenazi. You know how Syrians also have the last name Ashkenazi? It's Benashon Sagi Nahor. Anyway, Bekitzer, yeah. I don't know, does the last name Sephardi exist by Ashkenazi? It doesn't sound like they never made it there. Anyway, Bekitzer, so he writes over there, he speaks about the different Nuscha'ot of the Tefillah, he speaks about Nusach Ashkenazi, he speaks about the Nusach of the Sfaradim, which by and large is based off of Nusach Ari, and he says that the, sorry, somebody keeps on calling again and again. It might be an emergency. No, it's not an emergency. Anyway, so he says that every nusach in Klal Yisrael goes up through the tzinar of one shevet. Every nusach of tefillah goes up through one shevet. And there were different nusachos. It wasn't only Ashkenaz and Sfarad back then. There's nusach Raimi, there's nusach, there's a bunch of different nusachos. But he says the nusach of Edot HaMizrach, the nusach which, the Ari's nusach, which he changed to, he says it goes up all 12 tzinayos of all the Shvatim. And he says that's why he changed his nusach to that of the Sfardim. he wouldn't have been the first Ashkenazi gadol in history to change his nusach. Famously, who the Chassam Sefer calls Moriv Rabbi a Kohen Gadol Me'echav, a Gaon of Nosson Adler, is the Chassam Sefer, one of his rebbeim. If you look in Shelot Tshuvot Chatam Sofer, Chelek Aleph Or HaChaim, Siman Tetvav. There's two Tetvavs, the first one. It's a mistake in the print, it's Tot Tfus. First Tetvav. He says over there, he quotes his Rebbe, Rav Nosson Adler. He did some research, and he also came to the conclusion, the same conclusion as the Ari, that Nosach HaSfaradim is the right way to go. And he famously hired a Chacham Sfaradi, Hagaon Rabbi Chaim Oda'i, from Turkey. He brought him over to Ashkenaz for 3 years. He hired him, and he paid him to teach him all of the Klala Dikduk, and all of the Nuscha'ot, and the pronunciation of Sfaradim. It took him 3 years to learn. And once he learned that, he changed his Nusach, and he was the only Chazan, he was the only Shliach Tzibur in the Shul, he didn't let anybody else go up. He was the only one. Nevertheless, the Chassam Sefer proceeds to disagree with his Rebbe. He says, no, it's not basis for Ashkenazim changing their minig, but just to show you that there is precedent in Am Yisrael for such a thing. Now, that being said, tonight is the 113th Yahrzeit of Gaon Ozen Rabbein Yosef Chaim, Ben Mazal Tov, the saintly Ben Ish Chai, Ruach Hashem Tinchon Magan Eden. If you look in Sefer Abir HaRoaim, which is probably the most comprehensive and analytical, it's my favorite biography in Hebrew of Maran Chacham Ovadia. So he quotes a story of the, I don't remember the source that he quoted, but once Rav Chaim Eizer Grzinski was asked who the Gadol Ador was. Rav Chaim Eizer was the Gadol Ador himself. He was the Av Beis Din in Vilna. He was the uncontested Posek Ador where all Shailas from far and wide came to. And they asked him, and they thought that they were going to get an answer. You know, so you're sitting in Europe, in Vilna, that's the epicenter of Torah in Europe. So that somebody asked him who the Gadol Ador was. He said, I'll tell you the truth. The Gadol Ador is not in Europe. He says there's a certain Talmud Chacham in Baghdad, in Iraq. His name is Rav Yosef Chaim. Rav Yosef Chaim is the Gadol Ador. Rav Chaim Eizer said the Ben Ish Chai is the Gadol Ador. Kacha, muva. The Ben Ish Chai, Alav Shalom, had a very, very interesting life. And he was extremely prolific in all of his ketavim, which was, you know, he, obviously among Poskei Sfarad especially, many of the Poskei Sfarad were very prolific writers, authors. Agaon Chida, Agaon Rabbeinu Chaim Palachi, each of them wrote over 70 Sfarim each, Bechol Machmanei HaTorah, as did Rabbeinu Yosef Chaim. And by the way, a common misconception is that his name was Yosef Chaim, that's incorrect. His first name was Yosef, his last name was Chaim, just like many other Iraqi Jews, whose last names are first names. His last name was Chaim, his first name was Yosef. Ra'aya lekach, he always quotes his father. His father's name was Rabbeinu Eliyahu Chaim. And his grandfather, who was the Rav of Baghdad before him, was Rabbeinu Eliyahu Chaim was his father, Rabbi Moshe Chaim was his grandfather. They obviously didn't all share the same name, so that leads us to the conclusion that Chaim was their last name. Like I told you, like many Iraqis today, you know, like Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu. Eliyahu wasn't his first name, it was part of his last name. That's the way they rolled. Anyway, Bekitzur, he was offered many, many times in his lifetime various different positions, including to be Av Beis Din of Baghdad. Just as an analogy, Vilna was to the Ashkenazi Olam HaTorah as Baghdad was to the Sephardi Olam HaTorah. At that time, there were many, many epicenters of Torah among the Sfaradim, but Baghdad and the Tkufa, the Ben Ish Chai, which wasn't so long ago, he passed away in 1909. At that time, it was very much the center. There was the yeshiva over there, the biggest yeshiva in Baghdad at the time. It was called Midrash Bet Zilka, which was our all Chachmei Iraq, Chachmei Bavil, learned at the time, including the Ben Ish Chai's brother-in-law, Hagaon Zivchei Tzedek, Hagaon Rabbi Abdullah Somech, yeah, his name was Abdullah, which is the Arabic name for Ovadia. But anyway, tremendous Gaon. Kimat all of the Hora'ot of Isur Ve'eter that Sfaradim have are from the Zivchei Tzedek, as quoted by the Kaf Chaim. Zivchei Tzedek was Gaon Atzum. His brother-in-law, right, he was the brother-in-law, he was the Rosh Shiva of Bet Zilka, and the brother-in-law of the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai married Chacham Abdullah's sister. Anyway, Mikol Makom, he was offered to be the Av Beis Din in Baghdad, which he many times, and he refused, he declined. On many of his visits to Eretz Israel, he was offered the position of Rishon Etzion. Now people think that Rishon Etzion is a position that was established with the modern state of Israel. That is incorrect. Rav Rashi le'Eretz Yisrael, the chief rabbi of Israel, was something that came along with Kum HaMdina. But Rishon Etzion is around for almost 450 years. The first Rishon Etzion was Talmido of Maran HaBet Yosef, Maharam Galanti. Rabbi Moshe Galanti was a Talmido of Maran HaBet Yosef. He was the first Rishon Etzion. He was already in the late 1500s. So it's been along for a long time. They offered, and you know, per capita, Turkish Chachamim really possessed the office of Rishon Etzion. The Chikrelev, Rabbi Yosef Chazan, who was the maternal grandfather of Rabbi Chaim Palachi, among many, many others, the Medivlev, Rabbi Eliyahu Chazan, they were all Rishonim Letzion. Most of them were Turkish, but when the Ben Ish Chai visited Eretz Yisrael on many occasions, a delegation of Chachmei Yerushalayim came and asked to promote him. They asked him to stay in Eretz Yisrael and assume the position of Rishon Letzion because his name was really, it spread Metzudato Prusa B'chol Kitzvot Tevel. And he refused every time because he felt that assuming such positions would inhibit him from pursuing his learning and his writing and his psika. Very famously, though, he was the de facto darshan of Baghdad. What does it mean to be the darshan? He gave a shir every Shabbat afternoon for 4 hours. Every Shabbos afternoon for 4 hours. People in Baghdad, anashim, nashim vataf, men, women, and children, used to attend the shir. There was no such thing as not coming to the shir, the Ben Ish Chai. He used to give a shir in the Bet Knesset Gadol in Baghdad. It used to be filled to the brim with 2,000 people on average, every Shabbos afternoon for 4 hours. A collection of these shiurim, 2 years' worth of shiurim, he compiled it, and he wrote it into his Sefer Ben Ish Chai. If you ever look in this, now, among all of his farim, the Sefer Ben Ish Chai is probably the simplest Sefer that he wrote, besides for Halichot Lebat Yisrael. He wrote a Sefer in Arabic for women, Halachot and Minhagim for women. That was a different story. But of the Sifra Halacha and all of the other Sefarim that he wrote, Ben Ish Chai is probably the simplest. It's like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch of sorts.
It's still hard.
It's still hard, but he wrote it very simply, and the reason was he knew the Ruchnius Dika situation of Am Yisrael in their various countries, and you know, there were many places at the time, especially in Middle Eastern countries, that didn't have so much Torah at the time, and he wrote that Sefer, even though he could have wrote it much more complicated, and he wrote it the way he spoke. He also spoke, can you imagine, usually when a person is a Gaon of the caliber of the Ben Ish Chai, it's very, very hard. If you're an Ilui, it's hard to give a shir that's not Iluish. You know what I'm saying? You have to use more brain power to tone down your Iluishkeit than not. But he pulled it off, by the way, which was also something that was very characteristic of Maran Chacham Ovadia, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. He had a gift that the Ben Ish Chai also had, being able to connect to all different kinds of people at the same time and speaking to them in a language that shaveh l'chol nefesh, in order so that a person walked, you know, different people walked away from the shir on Shabbos afternoon with it. Some people, you know, were able to retain the same thing. And not only that, the Abedin of Bavel, Hagaon Rabbi Avraham Hillel, who's the grandfather, Ben Acharben of Hagaon Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Hillel, the Rishiva Vavat Shalom. His grandfather was the Abedin. When the Ben Ish Chai didn't take it, they gave the position to Rabbi Avraham. Actually, I shouldn't say that. Could be he had the position first, but they kept on bugging the Ben Ish Chai to take it. He never did. Rabbi Avraham Hillel famously, many times, I'll share with you an anecdote in honor of the Ben Ish Chai's Yartzeit. Some Dvar Halacha, you have to say, Shiyeh Siftotav Dovevot Bakever. There's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Dovev Siftei Shenim, that when you say the Divrei Torah of a Tzaddik, especially on his Yartzeit, it causes his lips to move in the Kever. Hagaon Ben Ish Chai, in Parashat Vayelech, Aseret Emet Teshuvah is coming up. Famously, when you go to yeshiva, and they give you, especially in elementary school, at least that's what they taught me in my elementary school, they said, you know, when they taught Yalacha, they say that if you forget Hakel HaKadosh during Aser Semetru, if you forget HaMelech HaKadosh and you said Hakel HaKadosh instead, you have to go back. You have Techke Dibur to fix yourself. If you don't, you have to return. But what happens if you forget, what happens if you mess up on HaMelech HaKadosh? What happens if instead of saying, on HaMelech HaMishpat, I'm sorry, instead of saying HaMelech HaMishpat, you say Melech Oyev Tzedakah Omishpat. So famously, as your Rebbe probably taught you in elementary school and then probably in high school, probably told you the famous Psak of the Rama, who quotes Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah in the first parak of Brachas. The Rama says that because you mentioned Melech, even though you didn't say it Ketikna, you didn't say HaMelech HaMishpat, you said Melech Oyev Tzedakah Omishpat, you mentioned Melech, you're still Yaitz and you don't go back. That's the Psak of the Rama. All Poskei Ashkenaz, because of this Rama, that's what they hold. When I was a kid, never in my life did I hear anything different. And you better believe that there are plenty of times during Aseres Mitzvah, even my adolescence post-Bar Mitzvah, that I messed up on HaMelech HaMishpat, and just by default, by rote, because that's what I heard my entire life from my Rebbeim, that's what I did. Oh, you said Melech, you continue. Interestingly, the Ben Ish Chai does bring that there's a machloket. All kim'at, a vast majority, rov rubam of the Rishayim, including all three amudei hora'ah, Rif, Rosh, Rambam, Tur, Maran HaShulchan Aruch, kim'at all of the Rishayim besides Rabbeinu Yonah, all hold that HaMelech HaMishpat is equal to HaMelech HaKadosh. In that, if you mess it up, you have to still go back. Now, not like HaMelech HaKadosh, they have to go back to the beginning of Shemana Esrei, because all three brachas are considered one, but you do have to go back to the beginning of Hashiva Shavtenu, and so much so that if you didn't correct it, according to Maran HaShulchan Aruch, he says it in two places in Shulchan Aruch, later of which in Siman Tafkuf Pehe, he says that if you mess it up, the halacha is that you have to go back to the beginning of Shemana Esrei, you have to repeat the entire Shemana Esrei, and you win the grand prize of 19 brachas levatala for having messed up on that. Now, that's what it is. Now, that's the and you know, Rebbe never taught me in elementary school. Yeah, just I hear where they're coming from. They don't want to, you know, confuse the bachrim. The Rama says it, and that's Psak Ashkenaz, as I understand. But when a majority, including of Ashkenazi, Rishayim, and Paskin, not like the Rama, and Maran HaShulchan Aruch, and you know, at least mention it. So, tides are changing. Baruch Hashem. The Ben Ish Chai brings down this machloket. And famously, the Ben Ish Chai says that because of Safik Berachot Le'akel, although Maran HaShulchan Aruch says that you have to be Chozer and that you're not Yotze, Safik Berachot Le'akel dictates to rely on the Rama and not to return for Melech Ohev Tzedakah Mishpat. Just continue. That is famously the psak of the Ben Ish Chai. Now, there is an Eidut Ne'emana of one of the Talmidim of the Ben Ish Chai. I don't know if you heard, one of the greatest Gdolim of the Sfaradim in this generation just passed away 2 weeks ago. Gaon Chacham Shalom HaKohen, the Rosh Yeshiva of Porat Yosef. Yeah? He's a tremendous Gaon. He was an old-timer Porat Yosef. That's a different discussion. By the way, Porat Yosef was established by the Ben Ish Chai. That's why it's called Porat Yosef, because the Ben Ish Chai fundraised through his family. The Ben Ish Chai's brothers were extremely wealthy, as was Mishpachat Sassoon in Bavel and in Bombay in India, which were many Iraqis lived at the time also because of business. He fundraised for the yeshiva and he established Yeshivat Porat Yosef. So Hagaon Chacham Shalom Cohen's father, the late Rosh Yeshiva of Porat Yosef just now, his father was Hagaon Chacham Ephraim HaKohen, who was a Talmid Muvhak of the Ben Ish Chai. And, you know, Porat Yosef has two, not anymore so much, but many years ago, Porat Yosef used to have two divisions, Pashtanim and Mekubalim. That's the way the yeshiva was divided. There was the Pshat yeshiva, the regular yeshiva where all the Gdelim we've known to come and love learned. That was, you know, the yeshiva was Gaon Chacham Ezra Atiyeh. That's where Chacham Ovadia learned, Chacham Ben Tzion, Chacham Baruch Ben Chaim, all of the Chacham Mordechai Eliyahu, all the Gdolim of Saradim in the past generation, they all learned there. Then there was the Mekubalim section of Porat Yosef. Chacham Mansur Ben Shimon was there. Chacham Yitzchak Kaduri was there. All the greatest Mekubalim, they were there. And they, mamash, it wasn't a stira. They each visited each other. Sfaradim are much more, I wouldn't say, I hate to use the word tolerant, but more in tune with Kabbalah, even on a halachic scale. Sfaradim, the Masorat HaPsikah of the Sfaradim, is that we rely on Sod, not only for the sake of Sod, but even for when there's halachot to be derived from Sod also. By the way, Magen Avraham, many times, Magen Avraham, Magen Avraham Gumbiner from Kalish, one of the greatest Poskei Ashkenaz, he brings Kitve Ha'ari constantly, as the Sha'arei Teshuvah. But Ashkenazim tend to paskin less, like Kabbalah, than Sfardim do.
Ramami
Pano also, yeah, Ramami Pano was, but he was an interesting fusion. He was a fusion of Posek and Mekuban together. Yeah. He didn't paskin much. Also Ramami Pano in Asrama Marot and others, Nachon. But Ramami Pano usually did not paskin based on Kabbalah. He was a tremendous Mekubal, but he tended to paskin based on Halacha. As opposed to the Ari and other poskin that usually paskin del Piasod. Anyway, Mikol Makom. So Chamifraim HaKohen was the Rosh HaMekubalim, Talmid of the Ben Ishchai. He says in Edut, that he says he was at that shir of the Ben Ishchai on that Shabbat Parashat Vayelech. Vayelech is always either Shabbat Shuvah during Aser Shemei Teshuvah. He was at that shir when the Ben Ishchai said that halacha not to be chayzer. I apologize if I keep on switching back from Sephardi to Ashkenazi Avar. I just want to make everybody happy. But it's chameleon, you know, it's a little bit. I happen to be half Ashkenaz, by the way, which is...
I was going to ask you to speak in Yiddish, but I thought that...
Yeah, anyway, but it's funny. I don't remember where I saw it. If you speak multiple languages and you want to know what your first language is, how do you figure that out? How do you know what's your most proficient language?
What you think?
No.
What
you dream in. The language that you dream in is subconsciously your strongest language. When I was in yeshiva, I always used to daven Sfardi, with a Sfardi sitter, at least after bar mitzvah, Sfardi sitter, Sfardi avara. But learning, I always did in Ashkenazi. Always, always. And it was unheard of to me, especially in Ashkenazi yeshivas growing up, how it would be possible to learn in any other havara but Ashkenazi. After I got married and went to Kollel, and I went to a Sfardi con with the Chavedat, everything changed. And now, everything that I do, including my learning, is in Sephardi, and it's so ingrained in me that even when I try, I mean, I can muster it up if I need to, but even when I try to actually sit and learn the Daf Gemara in Ashkenaz, it doesn't come out. It doesn't, it just, because I really just, you know, lobotomize myself into that, and it's a whole, I had to rewire myself. If you look, I'll give you an interesting Marei Makom. Agaon Kaf Chaim, in Siman Samach Aleph, Ilchot Kriyat Shema, Seif Katan Nun Vav. He speaks about the importance of being medakdik, not only during tefillah, but also during Limud HaTorah. And he says that if a person's not medakdik during Limud HaTorah, he says it's pogem in the efficacy of what the words of the Limud are supposed to be doing Bishmei Marom. And he says everybody should try to be medakdik as possible, both by tefillah and by Limud. Kaf HaChaim Samach Aleph, Seif Katan Nun Vav. So, anyway, Mikol Makom, so Chamifraim HaKohen, back to the story, he was at the shir. And when Ben Ishchai said that halacha to rely on the Ramah, he said the Av Bedin of Baghdad at the time, Agon Rabbi Abraham Hillel, he stood up in the middle of the shir, Melokumato, he stood up, and he stopped the Ben Ishchai mid-shir. And he told him, Ein halacha kemotcha. He says, you're paskening neged Maran HaShulchan Aruch. Says, what you're saying, he says, Im kol hakavod ra'ui, what you're saying, because it was Av Bedin, he had a chiyuv to make sure that people didn't walk away with what he felt was a mistake behora'ah, and he said, in kol hakavod, I understand that's your opinion, aval ein halacha kach. He says, that's not the halacha. And then he told Tfaddal, now you can continue your shir. That's what he told us. He says, halacha kedat maran. Halacha is kedat rov poskim. Rif, Rambam, Rosh, Shechozrim. What's the reason for that? Lechaura, the Ben Ishchai's taina sounds very good. Safek brachot la'akel, nachon? Safek brachot la'akel dictates that you shouldn't go back. Nevertheless, Maran zechonu lebracha in Yabia Omer Nichavedat disagrees with the Ben Ishchai, brings the story, but it's only an anecdote. Obviously, you don't paskin halachas off of a story. Yeah, the Gemara says many times Maaseh Rav is not the best basis for psikat halacha, but he brings a raya. There is a Chaya Adam, Rabbeinu Avraham Danzig. Yeah, he was he's a balabos, he's a banker, and he was also a tremendous gaon, and he was the Motz of Vilna. He was the Moritz Tzedek of Vilna at the same time as the Gaon. And of his son. He was Mechut of his son. Not yet. So anyway, he writes in Chaya Adam, that's the, you know, before the Mishnah Berurah was written, the Chaya Adam was the go-to sefer, halacha sefer for Ashkenazim. And the Mishnah Berurah, by and large, will always quote him on every, you know, Sif and Shulchan Aruch. So the Chaya Adam says, let's say a person daydreams, or maybe falls asleep a little bit during Shemoneh Esrei. And now you're in the, you know, many times you do Shemoneh Esrei on autopilot. Now let's say in the middle of saying Shemoneh Esrei on autopilot, you have a suffix whether or not you said a certain bracha. you're in the middle of a bracha, but you're not sure if you said the bracha before, a few brachas before. What's the halacha? What do you do in a situation like that? What do you do? So I have two options. Option number one is going back to say the bracha that I'm misupik about. Option number two is the bracha that I'm misupik about, don't say it, because suffik bracha is lakal, and just start from the bracha right after that you know that you didn't say it. Okay? That's the two options. What do you think the Chayyadim paskins, and why? What do you think he says to do?
Go back.
To where?
Oh. The place where you made a mistake.
He says to go back and you have to repeat the bracha that you're misupik about. He says, hey, wait a second. If I go back to that bracha, it could be that I already said it. So if that's the case, doesn't suffik bracha's lakal tell me to start from the bracha after? Why would I go back to that bracha that I'm actually misupik about? So he says, you're right. But relative to the greater suffik brachas that you can, because the halacha is that if you say Shemon Esrei out of order, or if you skip a bracha, you're not yaitzen. So he says, if in fact you didn't say that bracha, every subsequent bracha that you say in Shemon Esrei, that becomes another suffik brachas lakal, another suffik brachas. So the greater suffik brachas lakal of the other brachas in Shemon Esrei tells me I have to go back and fix that one. Using the same logic, says Maran Zichron Bracha, disagreeing with the logic of the Ben Ish Chai, says no. You're right. There is a shita of Rabbeinu Yonah. It's a day chida. That's a different story altogether. If we can use a one day in the Paiskim to create a sabah, a safek brachas lakal, that's a big machlekes. Usually the Ben Ish Chai himself says you need four in Rav Pe'alim, but that's a different story altogether. Now, there is a shita that says not to go back, true. But Rav Paiskim tell you that you have to go back. And remember what I told you just before? If you don't go back, according to Rav Paiskim, what happens to every subsequent bracha in the Shemon Esrei? Not according to them, it's not even tzafek brachos. Brachal v'tala, brachal v'tala, brachal v'tala, brachal v'tala, brachal v'tala. The whole Amidah becomes brachal v'tala because of that. So he says, we can't accept the taina of sabal when, yes, you have a sabal on a specific bracha. But what about the sabal on the entire Shemon Esrei? What about the greater sabal of every other bracha that you didn't say that? Therefore, says Maran Zichron Bracha, that we cannot use this argument over here, and he disagrees with it. But at that shir, Chaim Ephraim HaKohen said that the Ben Ish Chai was undeterred. You know, imagine something like that happened to you. You get flustered. It's a big thing. It's a whole 2,000 people are there. It's not like in yeshiva. You know, you ask, it gets very heated. When you're speaking to Balabatim, it's usually, you know, it's. I'm not sure how lively the Ben Ish Chai shir on Shabbos was. That's a very big statement for the Avid Din to get up and say you're wrong. But he continued, not flustered, composed, like nothing happened. That was the tremendous anava of Rabbeinu Yosef Chaim. Able to, nachon, okay, so you disagree with me. It's brought down famously. Maran Zichron Bracha, when he was younger, even in his, especially when he got older, but even in his younger years, he started, Maran Chacham Ovadia used to give shiurim in Yerushalayim, beginning when he was 15 years old. He's already a tremendous gaon, mastered shas and paiskin by that age, and he started giving shiurim to Persian Jews, agav. That was his first kahal, Persians. Anyway, he was always very makir tovah to them because they gave him his first form, his first platform to give shiurim was to Persians. He always said he was very makir tovah to them. Anyway, so when he started, you know, Yerushalayim back then was, you know, most of the Sfarim in Yerushalayim were Iraqis then. And the Iraqis in Yerushalayim at the time didn't take too kindly to the fact that some 15-year-old, being the Eloi that he was arguing, and he disagreed with many of the Psakim and Ben Ish Chai. You know, there's a whole set of Sfarim that Maran Chacham Ovadia has on Hasagot on the Ben Ish Chai, what's it called? Anechot HaOlam. And they didn't like that he was arguing with him, and he really mamish for years and years. He got redifus from his own, he was Iraqi, he got redifus from his own community. They burnt his farm, mamash, he got sick from it. He writes, if you look in Tarat HaBayit, which is Maran Zichron Sefer on Nida and Tvila, if you look in Tarat HaBayit Chilek Bit, he writes in the Agdama, that when he was in the lowest point of this machlekes, quote unquote, when he was going through this redifus, he was at a point where he was going to stop writing. He was so depressed and he was so defeated that he decided to stop writing and he was going to stop giving shiurim. He was just going to go learn by himself. And one of those nights where he made that decision, he had a dream. Who comes to him in a dream? The Ben Ish Chai. Ben Yishchai, Rabbi Yosef Chaim, comes to him in a dream. And he sees him sitting at his desk, at his learning desk, and he sees he's learning something. He comes closer, and their lives didn't overlap. The Ben Yishchai passed away in 1909. Maran Chachmo Vadia was born in 1921, but everybody knew the Ben Yishchai. So he was sitting at his desk learning, and he wanted to come closer. He saw that, lo and behold, the Ben Yishchai was learning from Yabia Omen, from Chachmo Vadia's own sefer. And he looked at him, and the Ben Yishchai looks at Chachmo Vadia, and he said, Sefer Tov Me'od, Sefer Tov Me'od, Tamshich Lichtov, Tamshich Lichtov. He told him, keep writing, don't stop. He wakes up in the morning and he saw it's a dream. Even the Ben Yishchai, he took that as a message of chizik. Even the Ben Yishchai himself, on which he's chaylik all the time, he said, keep writing, kach darka shel Torah, don't stop. That gave him renewed koichis and he continued. The Ben Yishchai, I'll end with this because I don't want to take too much of your time. I gave the, my chaburis are open to anybody who wants to learn, not specifically Sfardim. I teach anybody who wants to learn. But this past shir, the past chabur that I gave today, actually last night, I gave the guy some homework in honor of the Yartzeit of the Ben Yishchai. And this is one, I'm a very big fan of hakdamas. Many people have a bad habit of skipping hakdamas of Sfardim that they learn. And that's a terrible habit, and I'll tell you why. The whole neshama of a sefer can sometimes be found in the hakdama. Historical background, societal background, why the mechaber felt it was necessary to write the sefer, what exactly he's trying to accomplish, what his derech is, all that and more, you'll only find in the hakdama. So I'm a very big fan. One of the most important hakdamas, I told them for Sfardim, but it's not only true for Sfardim, it's for Ashkenazim as well. People always want to know how to quantify what's the Maseiros HaPsak of the Sfardim and what's the Maseiros HaPsak of the Ashkenazim. How and where do they differ? What exactly makes the Sfardi Poskim tick versus the Ashkenazi ones? That and more you can find in the Pticha, the Sefer Rav Pe'anim, the Ben Yishchai's magnum opus, Shelot U'Tshuvot Rav Pe'anim. If you look over there in the Hakdama, called the Pticha leSefer HaPe'anim, he explains how halacha should be decided. He explores the derech hapsika of both Sfardim and Ashkenazim, how and why they differ, and most importantly, which is what he spends most of his time in the Hakdama, is explaining how to disagree in halacha, how to write, how to paskin, but bederech shel kavod. And he brings many live examples. Okay, I'm not going to tell you names because I don't want to, I don't want it to be a spoiler. I want you to read it. I'm going to keep you in suspense. But he brings many, many poskim throughout the generations who, in his opinion, were not only sharp, but a little bit too sharp. And what ended up happening to them as a result? And what ended up happening to the poskim who weren't as sharp and spoke b'lishon shel anava, that spoke b'lishon shel kavod? Nachon. Machlekes l'shem shamayim isn't something that's new in Klal Yisrael, but he says the ikr is how you disagree, what lashon you use, how much kavod you give to the other side. That is key in any machloket l'shem shamayim. And he brings many, many, many examples of some of the greatest poskim of all time, and he takes them to task for l'shemis that they used in disagreements that they had with other poskei zmanam. I'll give you one pair, one hint, and then you see what he writes about it. Rambam and Ravid. Speaks about it extensively over there. Yeah. And there's the Oid Kahina V'Chahina. There's many more examples of that he brings down. But he didn't appreciate, and he says especially, he doesn't quote it, but the Chida says, in general, Sfaradim have nitzotz from Bet Hillel. Says Ashkenazim have nitzotz from Bet Shammai. That's why, in general, if you look through a majority of Shulchan Aruch and Poskim, in general, Poskei Ashkenaz tend to be more machmir. In general, very machmir. Maran is usually mekel, Rama, machmir. In general, not always, but in general. In general, also among Acharonim, Poskei Ashkenazim in general, many times, are machmir. Sfaradim usually, they usually try to find some sort of sfek steak or tzirufim, whatever, to be mekel. Chida says that's because Shorish Nishmatenu, the Shorish of the Neshama of the Sfaradim comes from Bet Hillel. Bet Hillel, throughout Shas, besides for six cases, are usually Mekel. Mishamai. Ashkenazim sherish nishma samis. Now it's not a bad thing, chasav shalom, to be from Mishamai. Mishamai, first of all, the Gemara says was mechada ditfei. They were sharper. Not only that, Ari HaKadosh also writes in Shara Kavanot, Shara Gilgulim. He says that in Olam Hazeh, Halacha is like Beis Hillel. In Olam Haba, Halacha is like Beit Shammai. So he says, yeah? It's interesting. The way Olam Haba is going to play out is going to be an interesting thing. In the same place, he also says that the Kohen Gadol Le'atid Lavo, who's going to be Kohen Gadol? Korach. He says, Korach is going to be Kohen Gadol Le'atid Lavo. His machlaikis, since he was Chozer B'tshuva, his machlaikis did bear fruit. No, the Ari HaKadosh and Shara Kavanot, Shara Gilgulim. He says, why? Tzaddik, Katamar, Yifrach, Sofet Tevot, Korach. Basof, he says, Korach, Basof, La'olam Haba, he's going to end up being Kohen Gadol. So, anyway, Mikol Makom. So, the idea is that Ben Ishchai always pushed speaking Da'anava, speaking and writing and disagreeing, always with optimal Kavod. And that's, if you look through his firm, that's what he was so famous for. Always gracious with his Tshuvot, and they asked him questions from all over the world, not only Sfaradim, Ashkenazim, everybody sent him Shailas. From the most far-flung places on the planet, he answered Shailas. He was always very gracious, he was always very humble, Klapei the Poskim, Rishonim, and Acharonim, and if he decided to disagree with the Shulchan Aruch, he says, even though Anan, Batar Tachad Maran Azlin, we're holding on to, we're Samuch al Shulchano Shel Maran, how can we even say, but what such Lishonot of Anava and Bitur? But, you know, sometimes he disagreed because he felt he needed to. That is the unbelievable legacy that Rabbeinu Yosef Chaim leaves over, not only for Sfaradim, but for Am Yisrael. And it's such a ta'anug. The reason why I came here tonight is because I felt it was heartwarming for an Ashkenazi yeshiva to mark and to celebrate the Hilulah of a Chacham Sfaradi, like I told you before, is not something to take for granted, even though he wasn't Chacham Sfaradi. It was Rashke Behag Shel Kol Am Yisrael. There's no Sfaradi Ashkenazi. Yeah, even Rav Chaim Moshe said. But what? But to mark it, to be mitzayin the Yertz of Chacham Sfaradi is really, I think this is making a major inroads for B'nai Torah everywhere to show that the Torah transcends any dimensions of culture and language and countries and whatever. Yeah, like Rav Saadia Gaon says, En Uma Zo Uma Ela B'Toroteha. Every other nation on the face of the earth is governed by common geography and common culture. Am Yisrael is the only exception. We certainly don't share common geography, and bevadai, we don't share similar cultures. You know, we come from different places, speak different languages, eat different foods, have different minhagim, and what? The Torah unites us all. The Torah, Shel Chachmei Sfarad, Chachmei Ashkenaz, the reason why that happened is only because of Galut. If there was no Galut, we'd have a Sanhedrin, and there would be no machlokot. We'd have one psak halacha. That's what we pray for every day. But Kadosh Baruch Hu Berov Chochmato, he sent us into Galut, and that's what happened. Different minhagim come in Am Yisrael, but Elu Ba'elu Divrei Elohim Chaim, everything is Kulam Miro'ei Echad Mitanu, like the Gemara says. All of the minhagim, all of the halachot, they all came from the same Ro'ei. Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Shalom. They all have their roots in Matan Torah, and everything's legitimate, and therefore, that's why I came here tonight. I have to be up at 5 in the morning for Slichot. You know, because we have kitniot, so we have to have slichot the whole chodesh. So, but I made it my business to come to show, first of all, my personal hakarat hatov, and second of all, to be mechazek umitchazek. I thank you all for listening, and thank you to Rabbi Zonenshine for giving me the opportunity. Thank you very much.